It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I was out yesterday doing a kind of a last second perusal of my neighborhood. It's been a confusing fall in terms of color. You know, there was a brief period sort of in the teens of September when I thought, oh my gosh, our color is going to be gone by the middle of September. And a bunch of the maples turned, and then we had a really windy kind of a rainy weekend, and boy, the leaves came off. I had several trees in my yard that were bright yellow and suddenly were bare. But I had a lot of trees in my yard that were still green. And I kept looking at those, and I'm looking at them even yesterday. There were still some green maples. But I did put yesterday down as my peak of color for the maples for this year, because I thought that either yesterday or today, within the next few days, we're going to hit our peak of color on the maples. And I also made that observation because I was up at the bog, which is about 25 miles north of Grand Rapids. The aspens up that way were pretty well colored. There's a lot of yellow in the aspens up north. But at my house yesterday, I looked around. There were a few and a couple of big tooth aspens that were starting to turn yellow. But overall, the aspens at my house are still pretty darn green, which is a little odd because fall peak leaf color for aspens on average has been October 1st. Last year I had it as October 3rd. In 17 I had it as the 6th. But in 16 it was on the 16th of September. So it bounces around a little bit. But I don't think that we are at the peak of color for the aspens yet, although they're coming and it won't be long. And speaking of that, this is, of course, October. I guess if you wanted to lay it out really quickly, the events that I look for in October, of course, the aspens hitting their peak, the big tooth aspens hitting their peak, the tamaracks coming to color, and then ultimately by mid to late October, we'll see the tamaracks at their peak and start to drop their needles. And then Juncos usually, we had some reports of juncos in the area. Scott Hall says he'd seen a junco, typically 26th, 27th of September, but sometimes for me, I haven't seen one yet, so it's going to run to October now. But snow buntings will be coming back. We will see the last of the warblers, the yellow rumps and the pines and a lot of white-throated sparrows and robins in the area right now, and they will gradually sort of filter out of the area as they complete their search for various and sundry items to eat. Around my house, they've been, they found the apple tree, which is a decorative crab, and they're in there along with probably a half a dozen grouse that are in there morning and evening every day getting their fill. But there are also a lot of northern holly around my house. And one of the northern hollies was completely stripped. I found three berries on it, and it was full of berries early last week. So they had found that one. But then yesterday I went down by the lake and there are a lot of northern hollies down there, and all of them looked completely unmolested. So they haven't gotten to the northern hollies down by the lake. I did I used to do an inventory of flowers in bloom as of the 1st of October, middle of September, 1st of October, and then on into the later October. I looked yesterday, I saw silvery cinquefoil. That's a little yellow flower. If you find this five-petaled yellow flower, which is less than a half inch across, check the leaf. If you turn the leaf over and you see that the bottom is noticeably lighter than the top, that is silvery cinquefoil. I saw black-eyed Susans. I saw the very absolute very last flat-topped asters. The large-leafed asters are still blooming pretty good. There's another aster, a blue aster that's blooming in the ditches, but I did not stop and go look at it. New England aster, which is not really native to this area as a wild plant, but I have some growing on the back of my house as part of a wildflower garden, has just begun to bloom. Let's see, what else? Oh, there's a lesser, it's one of the fleabanes, daisy fleabane, lesser daisy fleabane is blooming along my driveway. And if you're a botanist or if you're a careful observer, you would notice that the lesser daisy fleabane has a leaf that has no teeth, and the daisy fleabane has a couple of teeth on the leaf. So, and neither of those leaves grasp the stem, which is probably the difference between those and the Philadelphia or common fleabane. So, fleabane, black-eyed Susans, a couple of asters. I saw a goldenrod, which I called late goldenrod only because I couldn't identify it any finer than that. And it is late in the season for goldenrods, so I assumed that they're probably late goldenrod. I was looking at the pines, and you know, a week ago, the needles had been falling, and they are still falling, though there are fewer and fewer of them. I had a couple, let's see, white pine, jack pine, and Norway or red pine. I had all of them as last brown needles, so most of them are gone. An import to our area, and this is the time of year now, as we move kind of through the fall normal, like the aspens, the big tooth aspen, the trembling aspen, and the last of the maples and the tamaracks, we're going to start sliding into, well, next will be willows and cottonwoods, which are not native to this area but have been brought here, or if they are native, they're growing down along the river bottoms. I've got a couple of cottonwoods along the river road that I observe regularly, and they're just starting to show a little bit of color. So watch for those plants that have not yet begun to color up, and they'll mostly belong to the willow family. American and beaked hazel are both approaching their peak of color, but they're one of those that drops leaves. The leaves turn, in the case of the beaked hazel, the leaf turns yellow and then falls off the plant. But on the plant, there are still lots of green and lots of yellow leaves. And in the case of the American hazel, the leaf turns red and then drops off the plant. So I estimate that there's about 50% of the leaves left on both of those plants, and they are probably close to their peak of color right now. There is likely to be a marked shift in the undergrowth in the next week. Usually it's about the end of the first week of October that most of the hazel are going to have their leaves down. And once that happens, if you're a grouse hunter, you're actually going to have another half a second to see the bird before it disappears. So good luck with that. I noticed, too, that the red raspberry, the common raspberry, is just beginning to shift to red. And I would encourage you, if you have a raspberry or a patch of raspberry in your neighborhood, that you might want to take time to kind of watch it, because raspberry, the red raspberry, is pretty common and pretty homogenous. It's pretty much the same across the state. So if you have a raspberry in your yard, a patch of raspberry, keep an eye on them and maybe send me some notes about them. I'd like to see how they change and where they change first. But at my house, they're pretty green yet, and I noticed yesterday just a couple of them were starting to turn red. So check your raspberry plants and see how they're doing, and maybe send along a note and let us know. That's what community radio is all about. We can make it a community if we all participate. I've been seeing a few more robins. You may recall we had a conversation with Laura Erickson about robins, and she had said that, well, it's pretty normal for them in late August to get together in big flocks and then just fly around as a group and sort of feed on the apples and the other foods that they like this time of year. And so you don't see them unless that flock happens to be in your yard. And but now there are smaller groups. I've got 5, 6, 8, 10 at a time here and there. Around my house, I've got a group in there because they're cleaning up on some of these apples that I have, and pretty soon they'll start in on the northern holly down by the lake, and I expect the white-throated sparrows will join them for that, so there'll be quite a bit of that going on. Let's see. We had a frost this past week on the 28th, a serious frost. I had a little ice on my windshield on the 26th, but no frost on the ground. And on the 28th, there was frost on the ground. So we had a frost there. I wouldn't call it a killing frost because a lot of the plants just shrugged it off and came through. But the tomato plants definitely didn't get through it. So they're pretty sensitive to that kind of stuff. We still have the great horned owls calling around our house every morning, every night, just calling incessantly. And there's a pair that are calling back and forth. And on Saturday night, I heard a third one calling into the group as well. So there are some great horned owls along the way, and that's always kind of fun. Milkweed, I found my first pods snapped open. First pods had burst open, but really not yet dispersing seeds. So check out the milkweed. They should be opening up near your place and probably will be throwing seeds by the middle of the month. Those seeds, once the pod opens, the seeds don't just pop out. There's a delay there and a kind of a long period where they sort of loosen up and the wind shakes them a little bit. And then finally the seeds start to come out of there and they'll start floating around. And you'll see them when they come. And if you want to move milkweed into your yard, I suggest you go grab a couple of those pods. And at my house, I just kicked the ground around a little bit, roughed up the dirt, and dropped the seeds in there, and voila, I had milkweed patches. So not too hard to do, and swamp milkweed is the same, pretty easy to do. Final note for this week, and I'm going to read you this just as I wrote it into my notes, because I don't know how else to say this, and I guess if little children are listening, well, it's not obscene, it's just not clean. I was driving along, and I caught a fox with his pants down. It was humped up taking a dump, or should I say, leaving a scat. It, as with most canids, it looked dismayed at having been discovered. And I have, in all my life, I have never seen a fox. You know, I've seen my dog a number of times, but I have never seen a wild animal going to the bathroom. And this fox was going to the bathroom, and it's unmistakable. If you have a dog, you know the difference between when they're squatting to pee and when they're humped up to take a dump. And this guy was definitely humped up, and he looked embarrassed, just as I might have if I were in his situation. So I'll leave that one to you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Tune in again next week, and we'll try and clean it up.